In the first century, the Romans could force the Jews to carry their goods for 1 mile because it was the law of the land. So with these Romans, you had a pack of Romans everywhere you went, right? After the Jews had carried the Roman soldiers, this is true. After the Jews had carried the Roman soldiers' goods for 1 mile, they could tell them, "This is as far as we're going, and we're not going to carry your goods any further." Well, you know, a beefy establishment like the Romans, they could just force every kind of thing, but it was in their laws. We have an example of this, if you want to know, when Jesus was making his way to the crucifixion. In Luke 23:26, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. You see how this other guy had to do this, carrying the load? It's from this concept that Jesus taught how believers like ourselves should be willing to go the second mile. Is it enough to just do something, or does it take more to do more? And shouldn't we do more? If you just do a little bit because that's what you can get away with, that's not enough. In Matthew 5:39, I tell you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go how many? 2. Do you see that God is a God of doing more than you ask? That's the way we should be. If we were to notice, we could see that Jesus gives us 3 examples here which teach us to go beyond the first mile or the first step and to continue on to the second mile or even the second step. Jesus tells us not to resist or oppose the evil person. He gives an example. He says, if they strike you on the right cheek, turn to the other cheek as well. We have to understand that this was a great insult in the first century to strike someone on the right cheek. You can hit them everywhere you want to, but not on the right cheek. I've never been in a whole lot of fights. I got a few in the early days. I never was a fighter. I never did like fighting. There were times when you had to. Most people wouldn't tolerate such an insult, and they'd retaliate. But Jesus is telling them not to do that. Don't retaliate. Let it go. When you have a situation that's creating all kind of turmoil, wouldn't it be better just to drop it? Just let it go. Now, it can come up again in another place, in another time, but it doesn't need to be right there. There are churches, and I'm going to tell you true, there are churches right now in this country, even in our expression of faith, that are fighting like cats and dogs. It's hard to believe that's true. Is that hard for you to believe? There are churches who are run by elders. Sometimes you have only one. I'm going to tell you, when you got one elder, you are in trouble. You know why? Because that fella is going to make every decision for the rest of this whole herd every time a decision is made. That's why you have multiple, not one out here. But it happens. Most people would not tolerate an insult. And so there's problems that you get with that. You just, when you have that, you just turn the other cheek. The second thing he tells us is that the first mile or first step would be if someone sues you and takes your tunic or takes away your money, give them your cloak as well. You're not going to believe this, but in churchendom, there are people who will take anything they can get off of you. It doesn't matter who you are. When you get up in some of the northern places, I'm glad we have the north. Are y'all? I'm glad we're not in it. I like it being down here where God created stuff, not up there. That's my judgment. Giving your cloak would be a second mile. Again, it has in mind not resisting an evil person. In all of these examples, Jesus is teaching us that we go beyond what is expected. If Nita tells me tomorrow, we need to get the lawn mowed today, I'll be praying that she won't do that because it's 900 degrees. But on a time when it's okay to do that, I'd be all over that, cutting that grass and doing all I can do. This morning, we're going to be examining several principles in which we go the second mile. We need to learn to go the second mile. 2 Timothy 2, 15 to 19. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroyed the faith of some. Let me tell you something. This text that we're reading is thousands of years old. You know that, right? And if you come along here today and say the resurrection has already taken place, what are you waiting for right now without something like this? What are you already waiting for? What you're waiting for is the day when Jesus will call us to Himself, us, everybody else in His embrace. All of those who have embraced the Christ. And there will be a time when Jesus just cuddles us all up and holds us in His grasp. Don't you want that day? And He won't let you down. He won't hurt you. He won't do bad things against you. Every believer needs to study God's Word to learn more about Him and His wonderful love. We've made stuff up in churchendom like we're all going to go to heaven when we die. Get away from that. Let me ask you this. If you are with Jesus Christ, do you care where? Do you care where you are if you're with Jesus Christ? No. Get over that. A lot of that stuff's been put in here, and it's not in the Scriptures the way that we've involved things. There are many today that won't go the first mile, much less the second one. And they won't, and they won't, and they won't, and they won't. And they keep wanting, and they never quit. They're starting to base their worship to God based on how they feel, not how it is. I don't get up in the morning and look at God and say, good morning. I say good morning, Lord, sometimes. But I don't get up and say, boy, you know, God's going to give me a new something today. I don't deserve a new something. If he gave me the best he had, do I need to be asking him for something else? Do I need to be that hoggish? Do you need to be that hoggish? Is it not enough for God to give you a covenant that says, I know you have done wrong. I know you have apologized to me, God would say, and put this out of the way. And I know that you are as clean as I am clean, God would say. Do you realize that you are as clean as God is clean? Now, is that because you're so wonderful? Or is that because you made a covenant with him? Which is it? You made that covenant. You don't make that covenant, you're in the trash pile. God calls for that covenant. How do you make a covenant? Well, let's see. He that hears and believes and is what? Baptized. What does the scripture say? Shall be what? Saved. I didn't make that up. I didn't have to make it up. God already made it up. Now, if God gave you that, how clean are you, Johnny? Do you feel clean? Did Jesus make you clean? When you did it, Johnny, don't go off bragging about it. We go off honoring Jesus for doing it. That's what we do. Some were having a lot of this stuff in the early century. They were changing things quite a lot. In Hebrews 5:12, beginning, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk, not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Let me ask you this. We've seen babies in this room, haven't we? I mean, we've seen that here. We've seen little man with his bottle and all of that when he, before he got grow up to be this big man he is here now. Do you know God is watching every one of us? And he's seeing everything we do. He knows that we don't get it right. But he also knows that he can get it right. And so whenever you got that, when you were baptized into Christ and you submitted to that, do you realize that you are as clean as Jesus Christ is clean? Do you realize that? If it doesn't work like that, and people think I'm a crook here telling you a lie, if it doesn't work, why are we here? He that is baptized into Christ shall be what? Saved. Period. Well, I still have problems. Really? You hanging out with us, you're going to have problems. But we're going to stand together in the presence of God. There's a danger of not growing up in the Lord. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? God's on our side. He's working for us every day. Every day. I want you to know we need to decide to be the second mile believers. Remember how we started this thing out? How, like with Jesus, when he was at the cross, they took people and said, you carry this cross for this long, you carry it over here, or you carry this burden over here. Do you realize God is still telling us to carry the burdens for other people? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Alan or anybody in this room or anybody that'll ever come in this room. It is about the doctrine of God, and this is the way He wants it done. You help the other guy, and you do it in the presence and in the names of Almighty God. And God will take care of us. There's always a way. You can't outdo God. The first mile or first step in regards to sin is found in 1 John 1:9. And here's what it says. Here's what everybody needs to hear. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you in here would say that somewhere along in your life you had unrighteousness? And God just said, we're getting rid of that. If you get rid of all unrighteousness, what is left? I'm going to tell you what. If you stay with what God does, you can't miss. You're going to mess up before you get through this day at some level. But God's already wiped it away. You are clean. I need that. The more we grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord, the less we'll sin. You believe that's true? Romans 6:15, what then shall we say? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? We're not fighting against our temptations. We're allowing them to master us. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As believers, we have the attitude that David had in the Psalm 101:3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. So this is who we are. We serve a God that says, I've done everything in this world and everything, listen to this, out of this world to bring to you the message that you can be pure, even though God would say with Himself, I know that you still do wrong. This didn't slip up on me. It's not some idea that just happened. This has been there since the beginning of creation. And God has prepared you to be in His fold. And we will go one day and we will stand before Almighty God. And we won't be standing there trembling and shaking as if we're going to just fall apart because we're so, worried that we're not going to make it. Let me tell you, you're not going to make it, but God's going to make it. You got it? It's not you. It's not even about you. It's about Him. And He knows that we mess up. Forgiveness is huge. You and I are sinners. There is no doubt. Some more than others. But God does not calculate how much. Sin is sin. Yes? Right is right. Yes? So don't go say, well, I just sin a little bit. If you sin, you sin big. Every one of us, bless your heart, are sinful. But because of the covenant, what does God do to the sin? I'm going to tell you what, if you can beat that deal, you come at it. if you beat that deal, you're going to be doing something somewhere that God didn't design. Because God put it down there right in front of us and said, hang with me. I know you mess up. You don't have to tell me every night. You don't have to write a note. I know where you are. But when you pray, I'll listen no matter what you say. That's a God I have. That's a God I serve. That's a God I want. The church said, amen.